Chapter 1. Cracks in the Foundation. Sarah Evans shifted uncomfortably as she sat in her small living room, her eyes drifting to the faint outlines of handprints on the glass coffee table. They were smudges she didn't remember seeing before, small signs that hinted someone had been here, not a stranger but her son, Jordan. He had been coming and going in strange patterns lately, and while she knew 16 was a challenging age, the changes felt sharper, almost like fractures deepening in their once-close relationship. For the past few weeks, she'd found herself wading through a series of small mysteries around the house. A necklace she'd inherited from her mother had gone missing from her jewelry box, only to turn up days later in a place she knew she'd never put it, inside one of Jordan's old sneakers at the back of his closet. It wasn't just the necklace, little things. An extra 20 from her wallet, Lucy's small electronics, seemed to vanish and reappear like whispers, with no explanation but one. The sound of the door swinging open jolted her out of her thoughts. Jordan stepped into the house, his lanky frame casting a shadow as he hung in the doorway, hoodie up, eyes down. "Hey, Jordan," she greeted him, trying to keep her tone light. He barely glanced her way, muttering, "Hey," before heading toward his room. His steps hurried, almost like he couldn't bear to linger. Sarah sighed, debating whether to confront him immediately or wait. "Calm down," she told herself, knowing that whatever was going on wouldn't be solved by a sudden accusation. She decided to keep her tone gentle but clear. "Jordan, can we talk for a minute?" she called out, watching him freeze in place before turning around slowly. "About what?" His voice was clipped, wary. "I've noticed some things lately. Things that don't quite add up," she said, choosing her words carefully. "I'm just concerned. I want to make sure everything's okay with you." He shrugged, a defensive edge creeping into his posture. "I don't know what you're talking about, Mom. Everything's fine." There was a silence, heavy and thick, as Sarah studied her son's face, the way he refused to meet her eyes. "It's just, I found my necklace in your room the other day," she said softly, trying to gauge his reaction. Jordan's face went red for a brief moment, a flicker of anger sparking in his eyes. "Why are you going through my stuff?" he snapped. "I wasn't going through your things, Jordan," she replied, her voice steady but firm. "I was just putting away laundry. Look, if you're in any kind of trouble, you can tell me. I'll understand." "Mom, seriously, it's nothing," he said, shaking his head. "I don't know why you're always acting like I'm doing something wrong." She felt a pang of hurt but swallowed it, nodding slowly. "Okay. I just want you to know that I'm here no matter what. You can always talk to me." Jordan didn't reply. Instead, he turned and walked down the hallway, his door closing with a soft but resolute click. Sarah stayed in the living room, her mind racing with worry. She tried to brush it off, telling herself it was just teenage angst, maybe a phase. But as she looked around the small, cluttered room, her eyes fell on something that froze her in place. Tucked just under the edge of the sofa was a silver bracelet. It was delicate, clearly expensive, and unmistakably out of place in their modest home. She reached down, picking it up carefully, her fingers trembling. It wasn't hers, and she knew Lucy didn't own anything like it. Where did he get this? The next day at work, Sarah struggled to focus. She was preoccupied, her mind tugged back to the bracelet she had found. It wasn't until lunch that she finally called her best friend, Leah, desperate for advice. "Leah, I don't know what to do," she whispered, gripping her phone tightly. "Jordan, I found this expensive bracelet in the house, and it's definitely not mine or Lucy's. And things keep going missing, then turning up in strange places. I think Jordan might be involved in something. I just don't know what." Leah was silent for a moment before she spoke. "Sarah, this sounds serious. Have you asked him where he got the bracelet?" Sarah sighed. "I tried to talk to him last night, but he's so closed off. He gets defensive whenever I bring anything up. Then maybe it's time to bring in someone else. Do you know anyone who could help? A counselor at his school, maybe?" Sarah thought for a moment, then remembered an old friend, Detective Marcus Reed. She hadn't spoken to him in years, but he'd always been someone she trusted, someone who understood the challenges she faced as a single mother. I think I know someone, she said softly. Later that evening, after putting Lucy to bed, Sarah mustered up the courage to call Detective Reed. She felt a strange mixture of relief and dread when his familiar voice answered on the other end. Sarah Evans. It's been a while. What's going on? Marcus's voice was warm, though tinged with concern. Marcus, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, she began, her voice shaky. But I think Jordan might be in trouble. There are things going missing at home, and I found something that doesn't belong to any of us. I need some guidance. I don't want to accuse him of anything without proof. There was a pause on the line. Sarah, I understand. I'll be honest, if he's involved in something, we need to figure it out now before things get out of hand. But let's start with some questions, okay? For the next few minutes, Marcus asked her about Jordan's recent behavior, his friends, and any unusual patterns she'd noticed. By the time they finished talking, Sarah felt a strange mix of relief and apprehension, knowing that Marcus would quietly look into it. Thank you, Marcus, she said, her voice barely a whisper. I just want my son back. We'll get through this, Sarah, he replied. And remember, you're not alone. That night, as Sarah lay in bed, her mind replayed the last few weeks, every strange moment now a vivid sign that she had been too afraid to acknowledge. She thought about Jordan as a little boy, how he used to run up to her after school, his face bright with stories. It was as if that Jordan had been lost somewhere, replaced by a stranger with his face but none of his warmth. Where did I go wrong? She wondered as sleep finally overtook her. But the question lingered in her mind, dark and unanswered, echoing in the silence of their home. Chapter 2. A Mother's Plea. The morning sunlight streamed through the kitchen window, casting soft golden patterns across the table where Sarah sat, absently stirring her coffee. The warmth felt surreal against the chill in her chest. Every part of her wanted to believe this was just a misunderstanding, that the small clues she'd seen were just fragments of an overactive mind. But deep down, she knew something was wrong. Her hands were still shaking slightly from the call with Detective Reed the night before. Marcus had promised to check things quietly, but his cautionary words echoed in her ears. If Jordan's in trouble, we need to act fast, Sarah. Jordan stumbled into the kitchen, his face pale and tired, and Sarah's heart clenched. He was still her son, still the little boy she had raised, but his expression was guarded, as though he carried the weight of something she couldn't see. He barely looked her way as he poured himself a bowl of cereal, the silence between them thick and uneasy. Jordan, she began softly, trying to steady her voice. We need to talk. He didn't look up. Meeting, Mom. Can't it wait? Not this time. She placed her mug down with a small clink, her fingers wrapping tightly around its handle. I'm worried about you. You've been acting differently, and things have been disappearing around the house. I need to know what's going on. Jordan's spoon paused midway to his mouth. He set it down, exhaling loudly, his eyes narrowing. There you go again, he muttered, the accusation in his tone sharp. You're always watching me, always assuming I'm doing something wrong. Jordan, please, I'm just trying to help, she said, her voice catching. I found a bracelet yesterday. Something that doesn't belong to us. I need you to be honest with me. Where did it come from? His expression hardened, a mix of anger and frustration flickering across his face. Why do you have to get in my business? He snapped, his voice rising. Maybe if you weren't always spying on me, things would be different. Sarah felt a pang of hurt but pushed through it, determined to stay calm. This isn't about spying, Jordan. This is about making sure you're safe, making sure you're not getting involved in things that could hurt you. I love you too much to just stand by and watch. Jordan scoffed, pushing his chair back with a rough scrape. You don't get it. You don't understand anything about me. He stormed out of the kitchen, leaving Sarah staring at the empty space where he'd sat, her heart feeling as though it had been wrenched in two. By mid-morning, Sarah found herself pacing around the living room, her thoughts in a frantic loop. Her friend Leah had texted her, sensing that something was wrong, and Sarah, unable to hold it in any longer, invited her over. As soon as Leah stepped through the door, She wrapped Sarah in a warm hug, her presence soothing the raw edges of Sarah's anxiety. "Come on, sit down and talk to me," Leah urged, guiding her to the couch. Sarah explained everything, her suspicions, the missing items, the bracelet, and the confrontation that morning. Leah listened quietly, her face a mixture of sympathy and concern. "Sarah," Leah said gently, "I know this must be tearing you up inside, but maybe you need to take a step back. Teenagers, they push boundaries, make mistakes. It's part of growing up. Have you thought about talking to a professional? Someone who could help Jordan open up?" Sarah shook her head, feeling the familiar pang of guilt. "I don't know, Leah. Feel like I've failed him. I don't understand what's driving him to do this, or why he's so angry all the time." Leah reached out, placing a reassuring hand on her shoulder. "You're a great mom, Sarah. You're here trying to help him, even when it hurts. Don't let this situation make you doubt yourself." Before she could respond, they both heard the faint sound of footsteps on the stairs. Jordan had emerged, his face set in a defiant scowl. He stopped at the bottom of the stairs, his eyes flicking between Sarah and Leah, and a shadow of something unreadable passed over his face. "What?" he muttered, stuffing his hands into his pockets. Sarah glanced at Leah, who gave her a small nod of encouragement. Taking a deep breath, she turned to Jordan. "I know you're upset, and I'm sorry if I made you feel like I don't trust you. But this situation, it's scaring me, Jordan. I don't want to see you get hurt or worse." Jordan's gaze softened just for a moment, but it quickly hardened again as he looked away. "I don't need you to babysit me," he mumbled. Leah stepped in, her voice kind but firm. "Jordan, your mom loves you. That's why she's doing this. We all make mistakes. The important thing is learning from them." For a moment, Jordan seemed to waver, his guard slipping. But then, as if recoiling from a force he couldn't control, he turned and headed for the door. "Where are you going?" Sarah asked, her voice filled with worry. "Out," he said flatly. "I need some air." Before she could stop him, he was gone, the door swinging shut behind him. Sarah sat there, her heart sinking, as Leah rubbed her back gently. That evening, as Sarah sat alone in the quiet house, Detective Reed called her back with an update. "Sarah, I looked into what we discussed. Nothing's official yet, but I've seen Jordan around town with a boy named Greg Lawson. Greg's known for getting into trouble. Small-time burglaries, vandalism, petty theft. He's not someone I'd want Jordan hanging around with." The name sent a chill through her. She'd heard it before, whispers from neighbors and other parents, but had dismissed it as just another name in the crowd of teenagers who drifted through their small community. Hearing it now in this context made her blood run cold. "What do I do, Marcus?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper. "I'm afraid I'm losing him." There was a pause on the line. "Right now, the best thing you can do is keep close. Don't push too hard, but make sure he knows you're there. If he feels cornered, he might dig in deeper. Do you think he's involved in something serious?" Marcus hesitated. "It's hard to say. Teenagers can be drawn to the thrill of rebellion, but sometimes it's just a phase. I'll keep an eye out for him, but Sarah, just be prepared. Sometimes they have to learn things the hard way." When she hung up, Sarah felt a wave of helplessness wash over her. She looked around the house, noting the small signs of Jordan's presence, the discarded sneakers by the door, the headphones draped over the arm of the couch, the scattered textbooks on the kitchen table. Each item felt like a piece of him, pieces she was desperately trying to hold on to even as he drifted further away. In the days that followed, Sarah noticed that Jordan's behavior only grew more erratic. He came home later, avoided her questions, and kept his door locked, the divide between them widening with every passing day. But even as her heart broke, a small part of her held on to hope, whispering that maybe, just maybe, he'd find his way back to her. If only he would let her reach him. The thought lingered in her mind, a faint prayer in the gathering darkness of their home. Chapter 3: The Wrong Crowd. The air was thick with tension as Sarah stood in the kitchen, her eyes fixed on the clock, each tick echoing in the empty house. It was well past 11, and Jordan still hadn't come home. She'd called him twice, sent a dozen messages, each one unanswered. Every time she glanced at her phone, she was met with silence, a maddening reminder of how little control she had left. Her stomach twisted as she thought about the conversation with Detective Reed and the name he'd mentioned, Greg Lawson. The idea of her son getting mixed up with someone like Greg was too much to bear. She had heard stories around town, snippets from other parents about Greg's influence on their kids. A shiver ran through her as she realized Jordan might be walking down the same dangerous path. The sound of the front door creaking open jolted her from her thoughts. She turned to see Jordan slipping in, his hood pulled low, his movements slow and careful. He froze when he saw her waiting, a look of irritation and guilt flashing across his face. "Where have you been?" she asked, her voice a mixture of anger and worry. He shrugged, avoiding her gaze. "Out with friends." "Jordan, it's nearly midnight," she said, struggling to keep her tone calm. "You know I worry when you're out this late. And ignoring my calls, that's not okay." He scoffed, rolling his eyes. "Why do you have to be so dramatic, Mom? I was just hanging out. I'm not a little kid anymore." Her patience was wearing thin. "I'm not asking for much, Jordan. Just a text, a call, something to let me know you're safe. Is that too much to ask?" He shifted uncomfortably, crossing his arms. "Maybe if you'd stop treating me like a criminal, I'd actually want to tell you things." The words hit her like a slap. She swallowed, steadying herself, before taking a step closer. "Jordan, I'm not treating you like a criminal. I'm worried. I know you're spending time with people like Greg Lawson. He's not a good influence on you, and I don't want to see you get into trouble." At the mention of Greg's name, Jordan's expression darkened. "You don't know anything about him. Greg's my friend, and he's been there for me way more than you have. So maybe you should stop listening to gossip and actually try trusting me." Sarah felt her resolve waver, the ache in her chest growing sharper. She opened her mouth to respond, but Jordan was already heading up the stairs, leaving her standing alone in the dimly lit kitchen, feeling the distance between them grow. The next morning, Sarah decided she couldn't just wait around, hoping things would change. She needed to understand what was drawing Jordan to someone like Greg, and maybe, just maybe, she could find a way to reach him. After dropping Lucy off at a friend's house, Sarah found herself standing in the small, cluttered office of Emily Winters, the school counselor. Emily was a few years younger than Sarah, with a calm demeanor that radiated warmth and patience. She gestured for Sarah to sit, offering her a reassuring smile. "Sarah, I know this must be hard for you," Emily began gently. "I've worked with Jordan a few times in the past. He's a bright kid, but I can see he's struggling." Sarah sighed, a mix of relief and despair flooding her. "I just don't know what to do anymore. He's shutting me out, spending all his time with this boy, Greg. I've tried talking to him, but he won't listen." Emily nodded thoughtfully. "Sometimes when kids feel lost or misunderstood, they gravitate towards people who make them feel accepted. Greg might not be the best influence, but he probably makes Jordan feel like he belongs somewhere. Do you think there's anything I can do to help him?" Sarah asked, her voice barely a whisper. Emily leaned forward, her gaze sympathetic. "It's not going to be easy, but building trust is key. Try to find a way to connect with him that doesn't feel like an interrogation. If he feels like you're attacking him, he'll just pull away more." The words sank into Sarah's heart, a glimmer of hope flickering amid her worry. Maybe, if she approached things differently, she could break through the wall Jordan had built around himself. Later that afternoon, Sarah found herself nervously waiting for Jordan to come home from school. She had planned a simple dinner, hoping they could sit down together without the usual tension hanging in the air. She kept Emily's advice in mind, reminding herself to listen and not push. When Jordan finally walked through the door, he seemed surprised to see her waiting, a flicker of suspicion in his eyes. "What's this?" he asked, gesturing to the table. "Just dinner," she replied, forcing a small smile. "Thought we could eat together, catch up a bit." Jordan hesitated before sitting down, his expression guarded. They ate in silence for a few minutes, the sound of clinking silverware the only noise in the room. Finally, Sarah cleared her throat, deciding to take a chance. "I know things have been tough lately," she began, keeping her tone gentle. "And I want you to know that I'm here for you no matter what." Jordan looked up, his eyes wary. "Are we really going to have this conversation again?" She took a deep breath, fighting back the urge to get defensive. "I'm not trying to accuse you of anything, Jordan. I just want to understand what's going on. If you feel like I haven't been there for you, I'm sorry. I'm trying to do better." For a moment, he looked almost touched, the hardness in his gaze softening. But just as quickly he looked away, his shoulders tensing. "It's not like you'd get it anyway." "Then help me understand," she pleaded. "Tell me what's going on. I won't judge. I just want to know what you're going through." Jordan shook his head, a bitter smile tugging at his lips. "It's too late for that, Mom. You already think you know everything about me." He stood up, pushing his chair back roughly, and headed toward his room, leaving her once again in the silence of the kitchen, her heart heavy with disappointment. The days passed in a tense blur, each one bringing new signs that something was deeply wrong. Sarah began noticing more missing items, things she'd long since stopped counting on finding again. And each night she lay awake, her mind racing with worry and guilt, wondering if there was anything she could have done differently. One evening, as she was clearing up after dinner, her phone buzzed with a message. It was from Detective Reed. "Saw Jordan with Greg tonight. They were at an old warehouse on the east side of town. Be careful, Sarah. This might be worse than we thought." Her stomach churned as she read the words, a cold dread settling over her. She knew she couldn't keep ignoring the signs, couldn't just sit back and hope for things to improve. Jordan was slipping away from her, and she had to act before it was too late. That weekend, Sarah waited until Jordan had gone out, knowing he'd probably meet Greg. Once he was gone, she made a decision that went against every instinct she had as a mother. She opened the door to Jordan's room, stepping into his private space for the first time in weeks. The room was a mess, clothes strewn across the floor, empty cans and wrappers piled in a corner. She felt a pang of guilt for invading his privacy, but her concern outweighed it. She carefully looked through his things, her hands trembling as she searched for anything that might confirm her worst fears. Near the bottom of his closet, hidden behind a stack of worn-out sneakers, she found a small duffel bag. Her heart pounded as she opened it, finding a collection of small electronics, phones, chargers, and a few pieces of cheap jewelry. Each item felt like a betrayal, a painful reminder of the path her son was heading down. As she held the bag, a mixture of anger and sorrow overwhelmed her. She could hardly believe this was her son, her Jordan, getting caught up in a world she didn't understand. Her phone buzzed again, breaking the silence. It was another message from Marcus. "We need to talk soon, Sarah. Things are getting worse with Jordan. Let me know when you're ready to meet." Taking a shaky breath, she closed the bag and stepped out of the room, feeling the weight of her discovery settle over her. She knew that the time for gentle talks and quiet hopes had passed. If she was going to save Jordan, she had to confront the darkness pulling him in, even if it meant risking everything to bring him back. Chapter 4, Lines Crossed. Sarah sat alone at her kitchen table, staring at the duffel bag she had pulled from Jordan's closet. Its contents seemed to glare back at her, a silent reminder of the secrets her son had been keeping. Phones, chargers, and jewelry. Each item represented a lie, a truth she hadn't wanted to face. Her hands shook as she closed the bag, her mind whirling with questions and regrets. The sound of the front door opening pulled her from her thoughts. Jordan stepped inside, his face flushed, his eyes flicking nervously around the room when he spotted her waiting. He paused, as if sensing the shift in the air, the tension thickening between them. "Hey," he said, his voice cautious. "What's going on?" Sarah swallowed, holding his gaze. She forced herself to keep her tone calm, though every fiber of her being screamed with worry and anger. "We need to talk, Jordan. And this time you're not walking away." He froze, his eyes narrowing. "About what?" Without a word, Sarah reached down and lifted the duffel bag onto the table, letting it sit there, a silent accusation between them. Jordan's face paled as he recognized it, his jaw tightening. "Where did you get this?" he demanded, his voice filled with anger and fear. "That's not the question you should be asking, Jordan," she replied, her voice barely above a whisper. "I want to know where you got these things. Phones, jewelry. They don't just appear in your closet. And you and I both know you don't have the money for them." He looked away, his fists clenched, his body tense with defiance. "It's none of your business, Mom." "It is my business," she replied, her voice growing firmer. "You're my son, and I refuse to stand by while you throw your life away. I know you've been spending time with Greg, and I know he's trouble. Are you really going to tell me this isn't what it looks like?" Jordan's face contorted with frustration. "You don't get it. Greg's the only one who actually understands me. He doesn't treat me like some criminal the way you do." Sarah felt a pang of sorrow at his words but pushed through it. "Jordan, I'm not treating you like a criminal. But look at what's happening. You're stealing. You're lying. You're getting into situations that could ruin your future. If I didn't care, I wouldn't be here trying to help you." For a moment, he looked like he was going to respond, the anger melting into something softer. But just as quickly, his face hardened, his walls shooting back up. "It's too late, Mom. You don't know anything about my life." She reached out, desperate to bridge the gap between them. "Then tell me, Jordan. Help me understand. Whatever it is, I promise you we can get through it together." But he shook his head, stepping back. "Whoa. I don't want your help." With that, he turned and stormed out, slamming the door behind him. Sarah sat there, numb and heartbroken, feeling the weight of every unanswered question settling onto her shoulders. As the days passed, the rift between Sarah and Jordan grew wider, each encounter more tense than the last. Jordan continued slipping out at odd hours, avoiding her gaze, his presence in the house reduced to a fleeting shadow. Sarah's heart broke every time she saw him retreat further, his once bright smile replaced by a guarded expression she barely recognized. One evening, as she was putting Lucy to bed, Sarah's phone buzzed. It was a message from Detective Reed, short and to the point. "Can you meet me tomorrow? There's been an incident." A sick feeling coiled in her stomach as she replied, agreeing to meet him at the station the next day. When Sarah arrived at the police station, Detective Reed was waiting for her in his office, his expression grave. He gestured for her to sit, his eyes holding a quiet sympathy that did little to ease her nerves. "Thank you for coming, Sarah," he began, his tone gentle. "I'm sorry to have to tell you this, but last night, there was a break-in at an electronics store downtown. We have reason to believe Jordan was involved." Sarah's heart sank, her worst fears taking shape. Are you sure it was him?" Marcus hesitated, choosing his words carefully. "There's no official identification yet, but witnesses saw two teenagers matching Jordan and Greg's description running from the scene. We're still looking into it, but I thought you should know." She sat back, the weight of the news settling over her. "What happens now?" "Right now, we're hoping to resolve this quietly. If we can reach him before it escalates, we may be able to avoid a criminal record. But Sarah, I need your help. If you can get him to come involuntarily, it might make all the difference." Sarah nodded, though her mind was racing. She had no idea how she was going to convince Jordan to cooperate, but she knew she had to try. That night, as she waited for Jordan to come home, Sarah's mind churned with a mixture of dread and determination. She couldn't let him slip away, not like this. When she finally heard the front door open, she rose, steeling herself for the difficult conversation ahead. Jordan barely made it two steps inside before she stepped into his path, her eyes locked on his. "We need to talk, Jordan. And this time, I'm not letting you leave until we do." He sighed, rolling his eyes. "I'm tired, Mom. Can we not do this right now?" "No," she replied, her voice unwavering. "I know about the break-in at the electronics store. I know you were there with Greg." His face went pale, a flicker of fear flashing in his eyes before he masked it with anger. Who told you that? Does it matter? She shot back, her patience worn thin. The point is, I know what's going on and so do the police. If you keep this up, you're going to end up in real trouble. Marcus, Detective Reed wants to help. He says if you come in voluntarily, they might go easy on you. Jordan's face twisted with resentment. Why are you doing this to me? Doing this to you, she repeated, her voice breaking. Jordan, I'm trying to save you. Can't you see that? This life you're heading toward, it's not going to end well. He glared at her, his fists clenched. You don't understand anything. Greg's my friend. He's the only one who actually cares about me. Friends don't drag each other down, Jordan, she replied, her voice filled with quiet desperation. They don't push you to break the law, to hurt yourself and the people who love you. For a moment, he looked as though he might break, his eyes glistening with unspoken emotion. But then, just as quickly, he shut down, turning away. I don't need your help, he muttered, heading toward his room. Jordan, please, her voice was barely a whisper, her heart aching with the knowledge that she was losing him. He stopped, his hand on the doorknob, but he didn't look back. Just leave me alone. The door closed with a quiet click, leaving Sarah standing alone in the hallway, her heart heavy with the knowledge that her son was slipping further away with each passing day. The next morning, Sarah made a decision. She couldn't keep letting Jordan spiral without intervention. She called Detective Reed, agreeing to meet him that afternoon to discuss a plan. If Jordan wouldn't come willingly, they would have to find another way. As she hung up, a part of her felt like she was betraying him, but she knew it was the only way to keep him safe. If this was what it took to protect her son, she would do whatever it took. As she prepared to leave, she took a moment to glance back at Jordan's closed door, her heart aching with the knowledge of what was to come. Please understand, she whispered, though she knew he couldn't hear her. I'm doing this because I love you. With a deep breath, she stepped out into the morning light, the weight of her decision settling over her as she prepared to face the difficult road ahead. Chapter 5. Confrontations and Consequences. The tension in the air was nearly suffocating as Sarah walked into the police station, her heart pounding with a mix of fear and determination. She was here to do what she had once sworn she'd never do, report her own son. The thought felt foreign and painful, twisting in her chest like a wound, but she reminded herself of her purpose, to save Jordan before he lost himself completely. Detective Marcus Reed greeted her with a solemn nod, his usual warmth replaced by a professional detachment. Sarah, thanks for coming, he said, gesturing for her to follow him into his office. The walls were lined with case files, reminders of people who had made the wrong choices. Sarah couldn't shake the feeling that her son's future was at stake, that the outcome of today's conversation would determine which side of that line he'd fall on. Thank you, Marcus, she replied, settling into the chair across from him.
Hey.
I know this isn't easy, but I don't know what else to do. He's slipping away from me, and I can't stand by and watch him destroy his life. Marcus nodded, his gaze steady. You're doing the right thing, Sarah. Sometimes the hardest choice is the one that makes all the difference. But you should know, bringing him in won't be easy. There's a good chance he'll resent you, at least at first. I'll handle it, she said, her voice resolute. I just want him safe, even if he doesn't understand it now. Marcus paused, studying her with a mixture of respect and sympathy. We can bring him in for questioning without an arrest, as long as he cooperates. But if he resists or gets caught up in another crime, there's only so much we can do. Sarah nodded, absorbing the weight of his words. Then let's do it. That evening, Sarah returned home with a heavy heart, her mind racing with all the possibilities. She knew the next step was to confront Jordan and bring him to the station willingly. She waited anxiously, pacing around the living room, watching the clock tick closer to midnight. When the door finally creaked open, she took a deep breath, steeling herself for the confrontation. Jordan stepped inside, his face flushed and his eyes slightly glazed. She didn't need to ask where he'd been. The faint scent of alcohol clung to his clothes, mingling with the unmistakable smell of cigarette smoke. He barely noticed her standing there until she spoke, her voice cutting through the silence. "Jordan, we need to talk." He glanced at her, his expression irritated. "What now?" "Sit down," she commanded, her tone leaving no room for argument. With a reluctant sigh, he slumped onto the couch, crossing his arms defensively. "What's this about?" "I'm tired, Mom." Sarah took a deep breath, feeling her resolve solidify. "I know you were at the electronics store with Greg the other night. Detective Reed told me everything." Jordan's face drained of color, his posture shifting from defiance to discomfort. He glanced away, refusing to meet her eyes. "So what?" he muttered, his voice barely audible. "So," she replied, her tone firm but steady. "We're going to the police station tomorrow. Marcus has agreed to help you, but you need to go in willingly." At her words, Jordan's head snapped up, his eyes wide with anger. "Are you kidding me? You want me to turn myself in? For what? I didn't even do anything." "Jordan," she said, her voice softening, "I know you're in over your head, and I know Greg's been influencing you, but this is serious. If you don't go in now, they'll come looking for you, and the consequences will be a lot worse." He scoffed, his face twisting with resentment. "So what, you're just going to hand me over? Some mom you are." The words stung, but Sarah forced herself to remain calm. "I am doing this because I love you, Jordan. You might not understand that right now, but I can't just sit back and let you ruin your life." For a moment, he seemed to waver, his expression flickering with something that almost looked like fear. But then he scowled, shaking his head. "You don't get it. You don't understand anything." "Then help me understand," she pleaded, her voice breaking slightly. "Tell me why you're doing this. Why you're throwing away everything." Jordan stood up, his hands clenched into fists. "I don't owe you an explanation," he snapped, his voice harsh. "And I'm not going to the police station with you. If you're so desperate to ruin my life, go ahead. But I'm not going along with it." With that, he stormed toward his room, slamming the door behind him. Sarah stood there, stunned and heartbroken, feeling the weight of his rejection settle over her. The next morning, when Sarah woke up, she found that Jordan was gone. His room was empty, the bed unmade, and his phone lay abandoned on his nightstand. A sick feeling twisted in her stomach as she realized he had left without a word, slipping away like a ghost in the early hours of dawn. She frantically called Detective Reed, explaining the situation. Within minutes, he had officers on alert, searching the area for any sign of Jordan. But as the hours ticked by with no news, Sarah's hope began to fade, replaced by a gnawing dread that something terrible had happened. Late that evening, Detective Reed called her back, his voice grim. "We found him, Sarah. He's safe, but he was caught trying to break into a car with Greg. They're bringing him in now." Sarah's heart sank. She barely registered the rest of Marcus's words, numbness settling over her. All her worst fears had come to life. Jordan had crossed a line, and now there would be consequences they couldn't avoid. At the police station, Sarah waited anxiously in the lobby, her heart pounding with a mixture of anger, fear, and sorrow. When Jordan was finally led out by an officer, his face sullen and defeated, she felt a surge of emotions. He looked at her with a mixture of defiance and shame, his gaze flickering away as soon as their eyes met. Marcus joined them, his expression serious. "We're filing a report, but since this is his first offense, the judge may consider a lenient sentence, if he cooperates." Jordan scoffed, rolling his eyes. "Yeah, because I have a choice, right?" Sarah looked at him, her voice trembling with both sadness and love. "Jordan, don't you see? This is your chance to turn things around. I know you're angry at me, but I'm only doing this because I care. If you go down this path, you'll lose everything." He glared at her, his expression hardening. "You already made that choice for me, didn't you? You just can't let me live my life." Sarah felt a tear slip down her cheek, but she wiped it away, standing firm. "This isn't the life I wanted for you, Jordan. You're so much more than this." Jordan's face softened for a brief moment, a flicker of vulnerability breaking through his anger. But just as quickly, he closed himself off, turning away from her. Over the next few days, Jordan's case went to court, where a juvenile judge reviewed his record and agreed to let him enter a rehabilitation program in place of a harsher sentence. Sarah felt a mix of relief and sadness as she watched Jordan reluctantly accept the terms. The judge's decision meant he would have to attend counseling sessions, community service, and regular check-ins with a probation officer. After the court proceedings, Sarah and Jordan sat in silence as they waited outside, the weight of everything hanging heavily between them. She wanted to reach out to tell him how much she loved him, but the words felt hollow in the wake of his anger. Finally, Jordan broke the silence, his voice barely a whisper. "Why couldn't you just let me be?" She looked at him, her heart breaking. "Because I'm your mother, Jordan, and I couldn't let you destroy yourself." He shook his head, the hurt and anger still visible in his expression. "I don't know if I can forgive you for this." Sarah's throat tightened, but she nodded, accepting his words. "That's okay. You don't have to forgive me. I just want you to be okay." They sat there, side by side, the silence stretching between them, each lost in their own thoughts. Though the path ahead was uncertain and fraught with challenges, Sarah held on to a sliver of hope that one day, her son would understand the choices she had made. For now, though, all she could do was wait, her heart heavy but resolute, hoping that somehow they would find a way to heal from the scars left by the choices they had made. Chapter 6. A Glimmer of Hope. The days that followed were quiet, filled with an uneasy truce between Sarah and Jordan. He kept his distance, his silences sharp with resentment, while she tiptoed around him, afraid of reopening the wounds left by the court proceedings. She'd seen a new hardness in his eyes, a layer of bitterness she couldn't shake. Yet beneath that bitterness, she glimpsed the boy she knew, the one who used to tell her everything. Jordan's new schedule meant long hours of community service, counseling sessions, and frequent visits to his probation officer. The routines forced a structure on him that he clearly resented, but Sarah knew he was capable of handling it. It was during one of his mandated sessions with Detective Reed, who volunteered to mentor him, that a glimmer of change appeared. At the police station, Detective Reed led Jordan into a small room, sparsely decorated with just a few chairs and a table. As Jordan slouched into his chair, Detective Reed sat across from him, studying the boy with a quiet intensity. "All right, Jordan," Reed began, his tone calm. "Let's cut the chase. You're here because people want to help you, not punish you. And I'm one of those people. I can be on your side, but only if you let me." Jordan rolled his eyes, crossing his arms. "I don't need help. I just need people to stop getting in my way." Reed chuckled, undeterred. "You know, I used to be where you are. Different circumstances, but I was angry too. Thought the world was out to get me. But trust me, you're lucky. Not everyone gets a second chance." Jordan's posture softened just a bit, a flicker of curiosity breaking through his mask of indifference. "What happened to you?" Reed leaned back, his expression growing distant. "I made mistakes. Got caught up with the wrong crowd, thinking they were my friends. I didn't listen to anyone who tried to help me. But then someone gave me a second chance and I took it. That's why I'm here, trying to give you that same chance." Jordan looked down at the table, silent, as if he were processing Reed's words. He opened his mouth to say something but seemed to change his mind, closing it again. "You don't have to say anything right now," Reed said, sensing the boy's hesitation. "But think about it. Not everyone in your life is against you. Sometimes, the people who make you the angriest are the ones who care the most." Jordan nodded, a slight movement, but it was enough for Reed to see the spark of doubt in his expression, the hint that maybe, just maybe, he was starting to reconsider his path. Over the following weeks, Sarah noticed subtle changes in Jordan. He began coming home earlier, following the rules set by the court with a reluctant acceptance. There were moments when she could see a part of him fighting against the anger, moments when he almost seemed like himself again. She wanted to reach out to say something encouraging, but their relationship was fragile, and she feared pushing him away again. One evening, she sat at the kitchen table, flipping through an old photo album. The images were a bittersweet reminder of the times when Jordan was young. His smile wide and carefree. She felt a pang of loss for that version of him, the boy who'd been her pride and joy, and wondered if they could ever reclaim what had been lost. Jordan wandered in, pausing when he saw her with the album. He hovered in the doorway, his gaze drawn to the open pages. "You used to love looking at these," she said, her voice soft. "You'd ask me to tell you the stories behind each photo." He looked away, embarrassed, but after a moment he moved closer, his curiosity overcoming his reluctance. Sarah turned the page, showing him a picture of the two of them at a park, Jordan on her lap, laughing as they looked at a flock of birds taking off from the grass. "I remember that," he said quietly, a hint of a smile tugging at his lips. "You told me those birds were going on a big adventure." She smiled, feeling the warmth of that memory. "I always hoped you'd go on great adventures too, but not like this, Jordan. Not the way things have been." He shifted uncomfortably but didn't pull away. Instead, he nodded, his gaze lingering on the picture. "It wasn't supposed to get this bad, Mom," he said, his voice barely above a whisper. "Greg." He made it all sound so simple, like it was just some fun, a way to get back at people who didn't understand us. Her heart ached as she heard the vulnerability in his voice, the sense of betrayal that he was only now beginning to grasp. "Sometimes people we think are friends lead us down paths we don't expect," she said gently. "But it's never too late to turn things around. You still have so many chances, Jordan." He nodded, swallowing hard. "I don't know if I can fix everything, but I want to try." As the days turned into weeks, Jordan threw himself into his community service, working at a local shelter and helping with food drives. He began coming home with stories of the people he'd met, the conversations he'd had. Sarah listened, grateful to hear his voice soften, to see a hint of excitement in his eyes as he described the small victories and challenges he faced. One day, as they sat at the dinner table, he surprised her by saying, "I think I might want to keep volunteering, even after the sentence is over. I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm doing something good." Sarah's heart swelled with pride, but she kept her tone casual. "I think that's a wonderful idea. You've always had a good heart, Jordan. I'm glad you're finding a way to use it." A soft smile played at the corners of his mouth, and for the first time in a long while, the tension between them seemed to ease, replaced by a tentative hope. The turning point came one afternoon when Jordan asked Sarah if she could drive him to Detective Reed's office. He had a counseling session, but he wanted to talk to Reed about something else. In the car, he sat quietly, his hands fidgeting in his lap. Do you think I can ever make up for the things I did? Like really make things right?" Sarah glanced over at him, seeing the sincerity in his eyes. "I think that every choice you make from here on out is a step toward making things right. It's not about erasing the past. It's about building a better future. And I believe you can do that." When they reached the station, Jordan took a deep breath before stepping out of the car. "Thanks, Mom. For everything." She watched him go, a mixture of pride and sadness filling her heart. As she waited, she allowed herself a small smile, knowing that this wasn't the end of their struggles but a new beginning. She knew that Jordan would still have to confront his past and that rebuilding trust would take time, but she could finally see a light at the end of the tunnel. Inside the station, Jordan sat across from Detective Reed, his posture no longer one of defiance but of quiet determination. "Detective," he began, his voice steady, "I want to talk about how I can keep moving forward. I don't want to be the person I was. The one who hurt my family and himself." Reed nodded, his gaze filled with respect. "That's a brave thing to admit, Jordan. And it's a good start. We all make mistakes, but it's what you do with the lessons they teach you that matters most." Jordan looked down, a sense of relief flooding him. For the first time, he felt that maybe he could find his way back, not just to his family but to the person he wanted to be. And with each small step, he knew he was making progress, the shadows of his past slowly giving way to a future filled with possibility. Chapter 7. A Mother's Sacrifice. The progress Jordan made was slow but steady. Sarah watched her son with cautious optimism, noticing the shifts in his attitude, the way he carried himself. He was more open now, no longer avoiding her eyes, and while their relationship was still delicate, she could feel the gap between them closing. Each day brought new challenges, but Sarah clung to the hope that together they could leave the darkness behind. But that hope was tested one chilly autumn evening when Jordan didn't come home. His probation hours were over. His community service shift had ended, but as the hours stretched, Sarah's concern grew. She tried calling him, her hands trembling as her messages went unanswered. Her thoughts immediately turned to Greg. She feared that he might still have a hold on Jordan, that he could drag him back down the path he'd worked so hard to leave. Just as Sarah was about to call Detective Reed, her phone rang, the screen flashing with Jordan's number. Relief washed over her as she answered, but the voice on the other end wasn't her son's. "Mrs. Evans, this is Greg." Sarah's blood ran cold. "Where's Jordan?"
He's here with me," Greg replied, his voice shaky. "We're at the old warehouse by the river."
"Is he all right?" she demanded, her heart pounding.
He's fine.
"But he won't be if you call the cops," Greg warned.
I just need to talk to you, all right?
I messed up, and I don't know what to do." Sarah's mind raced, torn between calling for help and going to find her son. In the end, her fear for Jordan's safety won out.
"We'll come.
Just don't hurt him." She barely remembered the drive to the warehouse. Her hands gripped the steering wheel so tightly her knuckles turned white. Her mind filled with worst-case scenarios. When she finally arrived, she saw the dim glow of a flashlight inside the abandoned building, the shadows stretching across the broken windows and cracked concrete walls. Taking a deep breath, she stepped inside, her footsteps echoing in the cavernous space. In the dim light, she saw two figures. Jordan standing stiffly against the wall, his face pale and tense, and Greg pacing back and forth, his expression wild and desperate.
"Jordan," she called, rushing toward him.
He looked up, his face a mix of relief and guilt.
"Mom," he murmured, his voice barely above a whisper.
Greg stepped between them, his eyes darting nervously around the room.
"No cops, right?" he asked, his tone a mixture of fear and anger.
"No cops," Sarah replied, her gaze steady. "I'm here for my son. Now tell me what's going on." Greg took a step back, his hands clenching and unclenching as he looked between them.
"Jordan told me he's done, that he's moving on, that he doesn't want anything to do with me anymore. After everything we've been through, he's just leaving."
Sarah glanced at Jordan, who looked away, guilt shadowing his face. She realized then that Jordan had tried to break away, to end his relationship with Greg, but that Greg wasn't ready to let him go.
"Greg, you need to let him go," she said, her voice firm but calm.
"He's choosing a different path, and if you care about him, you'll respect that." Greg shook his head, his face twisted with resentment.
"You think it's that simple? Do you know what it's like to be abandoned? To have everyone turn their back on you?"
His voice cracked, and for a moment, Sarah saw the broken, desperate boy beneath his bravado.
"Greg," she said softly, taking a step closer, "you're not alone. There are people who can help you too.
But dragging Jordan down with you won't make things better. It'll only make everything worse for both of you."
He hesitated, his anger faltering, but then his gaze hardened.
"You don't understand. Jordan was all I had. I don't know what to do without him." Seeing Greg's desperation, Sarah felt a pang of sympathy. She could see that he wasn't simply angry. He was scared, lost, clinging to the only friendship he had. She took a deep breath, choosing her next words carefully.
"Greg," she said, her voice gentle, "you and Jordan have been through a lot together, but sometimes the best way to show someone you care is to let them move on. And you can have a fresh start too if you want it."
Greg looked down, his expression torn. For a moment, it seemed as though he might listen, but then he shook his head, the desperation returning.
"I can't. I don't know how."
Sarah reached out, placing a hand on his shoulder.
"It's not easy, but you don't have to do it alone. I can help you find support.
Just let Jordan go, and we'll find a way to make things right."
Greg looked at her, his expression shifting from anger to exhaustion, as though the weight of his choices had finally caught up with him. He glanced at Jordan, his eyes filled with regret. After a long, tense moment, he nodded, his shoulders sagging. "Fine," he muttered, stepping back.
"Oh,
both of you." Jordan wasted no time. He rushed to his mother's side, his expression one of relief mixed with shame. Sarah held his gaze, her own eyes filled with both disappointment and love. "Come on," she said quietly, leading him toward the exit. But as they reached the door, she paused, glancing back at Greg. "The offer still stands, Greg. If you ever want help, you know where to find us." Greg nodded, though his expression was unreadable, and Sarah and Jordan stepped out into the cool night air. They walked in silence to the car, and as they got inside, Jordan finally spoke. "Mom, I'm sorry," he said, his voice thick with emotion. "I didn't mean for things to get this bad." She looked at him, her heart aching with both sadness and pride. "I know, Jordan. I know you didn't. But this, it has to be the last time. You have to be done with this life." He nodded, a tear slipping down his cheek.
"Em, promise.
I'll do whatever it takes to make things right. I'll work hard, stay away from Greg, everything." She reached over, squeezing his hand. "That's all I ask, Jordan. Just be honest, be safe, and remember that I'm here for you, always." In the weeks that followed, Jordan committed himself fully to his community service, distancing himself from Greg and the friends who had once encouraged his reckless behavior. Sarah could see the change in him, the weight that had lifted as he found a new path forward. One afternoon, as they sat together in the living room, Jordan looked over at her, his face filled with a quiet gratitude.
"Thank you, Mom, for everything.
For not giving up on me, even when I didn't deserve it." She smiled, tears filling her eyes. "You'll always deserve it, Jordan. You're my son, and I'll never stop fighting for you." In that moment, Sarah felt a sense of peace settle over her. It had been a long, painful journey, but they had made it through. They still had challenges ahead, wounds to heal, and trust to rebuild. But for the first time, Sarah felt confident that they could face whatever came next. As they sat together, side by side, she allowed herself to hope, to believe that they were finally leaving the shadows behind. The road to healing would be long, but they would walk it together. Mother and son, bound by love, resilience, and the promise of a brighter tomorrow. Chapter 8. Rebuilding Trust. In the months that followed, Jordan's promise to turn his life around slowly transformed from words into action. Each morning, he would leave early for his community service work, come home in the evening, and sometimes stay up late finishing his coursework for school. It was as if he were determined to make up for the time and trust he had lost, proving to his mother, and perhaps to himself, that he could be better. Sarah watched him with a mixture of pride and cautious hope, her heart swelling each time he came home on time, each time he opened up just a little more. The change in him was slow but steady, like the gradual breaking of dawn after a long night. One afternoon, Jordan surprised her by coming into the kitchen and offering to help with dinner. She looked up from chopping vegetables, her eyebrows raised in pleasant surprise. "You sure about that?" she teased. "Last time you helped, you nearly burned the toast." He chuckled, a warm sound she hadn't heard from him in so long. "I promise I've improved since then. Besides, maybe I need a few lessons." They worked side by side, an easy rhythm falling between them as they prepared the meal together. It felt like old times, the silence filled with shared memories, the occasional laughter breaking through the air. For Sarah, it was a reminder of the closeness they once had, the connection she had feared lost forever. As they finished setting the table, Jordan paused, his hands resting on the edge, his face thoughtful. "Mom, I've been meaning to say this," he began, his voice quiet. "I know I put you through a lot and I can't believe how patient you've been with me." She looked at him, her heart aching with love and forgiveness. "Jordan, you're my son. There's nothing you could do to make me stop loving you." He nodded, a tear slipping down his cheek.
"Thank you
for being there, even when I didn't deserve it." They hugged, a long, heartfelt embrace, both of them holding on to the promise of a new beginning. It wasn't just an apology or an expression of gratitude. It was a vow, unspoken yet understood, that they would work to heal together. The transformation in Jordan's life extended beyond their home. He began to excel in his community service work, connecting with the people he was helping and finding a sense of purpose he hadn't felt before. He took on small leadership roles, organizing drives and coordinating volunteer efforts, his natural charisma shining through. Sarah attended a community event where Jordan was scheduled to speak about his experiences. She watched from the back of the room, a mixture of pride and awe filling her as she listened to her son speak openly, vulnerably, about his journey, the mistakes he had made, and the lessons he had learned. "And it's because of my mom that I'm standing here today," he said, his gaze finding hers in the crowd, his voice steady. "She never gave up on me, even when I'd given up on myself. And that's something I'll carry with me forever." The crowd applauded, and as Sarah met his eyes, she saw in him the man he was becoming, a person shaped by both his struggles and his triumphs. She could feel the pride radiating from him, the sense of purpose that had replaced his former anger. One evening, as they sat together on the porch, Jordan turned to her, his face thoughtful. "Mom, I've been thinking about the future," he said. "I don't want to just move on from my past. I want to make something of it. Maybe even help others who are going through the same things I did." Sarah felt a swell of pride. "I think that's an incredible idea, Jordan. You have a unique perspective, and I know you could make a real difference." He nodded, a determined look in his eyes. "I'm not sure how yet, but I want to try. I want to make sure no one else has to go through what I did. And if I can give them the support you gave me, maybe I can pay it forward." She reached over, squeezing his hand. "Whatever you decide to do, I'll be right here, supporting you every step of the way." Months turned into a year, and Jordan continued to thrive, each day bringing him closer to a brighter, more hopeful future. He graduated high school and applied to local colleges, his dream of helping others guiding his choices. He even reconnected with Emily Winters, the school counselor who had once tried to reach him, volunteering to help with at-risk youth programs. Sarah watched as her son blossomed, his heart open and resilient, no longer weighed down by the shadows of his past. Their relationship had evolved into something stronger, a bond forged through hardship and love, a trust that had been rebuilt piece by piece. One evening, as they sat in the living room, Jordan turned to her, his eyes filled with gratitude. "Mom," he said softly, "I don't think I would have made it without you. I don't say it enough, but thank you for everything." She smiled, reaching over to brush a lock of hair from his forehead, as she had done when he was a child. "I'm so proud of you, Jordan. You've come so far, and I know you're just getting started." They sat in silence, the weight of their shared journey settling over them, both of them grateful for the love that had carried them through the darkness. As Sarah looked at her son, she felt a peace she hadn't known in years. They had faced the shadows together and emerged stronger, bound by a love that had survived even the hardest trials. And as the night deepened around them, she knew that whatever the future held, they would face it side by side, mother and son, ready to embrace whatever came next with open hearts. Epilogue: A New Dawn. Years later, Sarah stood on the porch, watching the sun rise over the quiet neighborhood. She sipped her coffee, a warm feeling of contentment settling over her. The house was peaceful, the echoes of past arguments and late-night worries replaced by the quiet joy of a home healed. Jordan had become a young man she was endlessly proud of. After graduating college, he had gone on to work with local youth, guiding others who had lost their way just as he once had. His own struggles had given him a unique insight, a bridge of understanding he used to reach young people who felt as he once had, alone, misunderstood, and tempted by the wrong paths. Jordan's life was now a testament to resilience, a reminder that the hardest struggles often led to the brightest transformations. Their relationship had evolved into one of mutual respect and deep, abiding love. He visited often, always eager to share stories of his work and hear about the latest developments in her life. Each time he stepped through the door, His smile brought a warmth that reminded her of the little boy she had once known, and yet he was also so much more than that boy now. Stronger, wiser, a man who had faced his shadows and emerged from them. One autumn afternoon, Jordan brought home a group of young people from his program, introducing them to Sarah as the person who had made all the difference in his life. She listened to their stories, seeing pieces of her son in each of them, and felt a profound sense of gratitude that her love and persistence had helped bring Jordan to this place of purpose and fulfillment. When they all left that evening, Jordan lingered on the porch, giving her one last hug before heading off. "Thank you, Mom," he whispered, a phrase he had said countless times over the years but one that never lost its weight. "Always, Jordan," she replied, smiling through happy tears. "I'll always be here for you." As he walked down the path, she felt a quiet sense of peace. The journey they had walked together, once so fraught with pain and doubt, had led them to a place of profound love and trust. She knew their bond would continue to deepen, each new chapter built on the foundation of everything they had endured. Watching him drive away, she looked up at the sky, now bathed in the soft colors of dusk, and felt a deep calm. They had faced the darkest shadows together and emerged into the light. Their story, one of love, resilience, and redemption, was not just an ending but a new beginning, a testament to the power of a mother's love and a son's courage. And as the first stars began to appear, Sarah felt her heart swell with hope, knowing that whatever lay ahead, they would always face it together.